I'd like now to welcome to the program Neil Egan and Andrew Tree. They are from Boys to Men Mentoring. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Kay.
So Boys to Men Mentoring, initiation rituals, is that the kind of thing that you do, or what's it all about?
Initiation ritual isn't not quite the right word I would use, partly because culturally we don't really support full initiation rituals and content, but it's the basis of what we do. We attempt to celebrate and mark the transition of boys into manhood, and the teenage years are that transitional time when they're moving into themselves in a different way. So initiation in that respect. So ritual and markers to celebrate and identify the fact that something important is happening in these young men's lives.
What ages of young men are you, or boys or young men are you working with?
We find that boys are not ready for this sort of experience until they're at least 13. Ideally, we would always choose a boy when he's ready, or more likely when he knows he's ready, or probably even more likely his mother knows he's ready. As it is, we find we have boys coming to us between the ages of about 13 and 17.
And how do you find them, and what are the needs that they're coming with?
Oftentimes it's the parents or older people around them that identify this idea that things are changing in their relationships with their sons, and an understanding that they would appreciate some help because the son is starting to separate from the parents in certain ways, wanting more independence, more decision making, and often that creates conflict in the house. Often the young people are having difficulties at school, not necessarily anything dramatic, but they're just starting to have more difficulties in their personal relationships. So when they hear that there's an opportunity for these young men to get some assistance and guidance and support, they reach out to us. In addition, we, as a group, try to make our presence known. This is a wonderful opportunity. Thank you, Mary Charlotte, for our opportunity to let people know that we're available so the conversations can go on within the community. And most people understand that the young men and women need mentoring, guidance, support outside the family structure as they mature into teenage years.
I think our experience is that if young people, and whereas we focus on boys, I'm sure it is true for young women as well, if they're not given suitable transitory experiences, developmental ones, they will go looking for them. And our experience is that boys in particular, who are looking for perhaps some risk, adventure and challenge, if that is not channeled in a good and healthy way, maybe we'll bring it into their lives in ways which is less helpful and have quite significant consequences for them.
Like gangs. So, I mean, I think girls and boys are going through similar challenges in some ways, but hormonally they're going in kind of opposite ways. I mean, they differentiate a lot during those years, and boys suddenly get really big and really strong very quickly and have all this energy that they don't know what to do with, especially, I mean, I'm just horrified beyond imagination how little physical education there is in the schools at this point. Yet there's athletic teams, but if you're not doing that, I mean, the kids in school don't seem to really be given an outlet for that energy.
I agree, and the change in the schools that lack of physical activity, that sedentary direction that the schools appear to me to be more concerned with containing energy than they did when I was younger. There seemed to be more space. There were recess and breaks, and everybody took gym, so they had a chance to move around. And then that's problematic for the boys, particularly to be still that long or to be that contained or to be that... They do benefit from a lot of energetic activity. So the schools have become, in my opinion, a little less of the vehicle for the kind of transition and support and guidance, there are certain ways that they are no longer as helpful or as strong as they were when I was younger, in my opinion.
And there's also a problem, I think, that in an era where everybody's worried about terrorism and so on, the laws have gotten so much stronger and more stringent, and that has trickled down to the school systems. And so, I mean, it's not only about containment, but it's about really tough rules. I mean, in my day, which now seems like a long time ago, you break a rule and you get slapped on the wrist. And now, I mean, you can go to reform school or whatever it's called now, or even go to prison for things like drinking. I mean, not that I'm advocating underage drinking, but ladies and gentlemen, it's not, it isn't not going to happen. So how do you deal with it?
So some of the rules can certainly seem very punitive. But going back to the opportunities for activity, I've read research, I've seen a lot of research done around the environment in which boys learn best, and certainly that would appear to be environments in which they can be extremely active. And certainly some of our ongoing mentoring program, which is what we offer in addition to the specific weekend rites of passage, includes getting out and being active. For example, this Sunday we'll be heading up probably up into the Aspens to hike up there. But this is part of the ongoing program we have with the boys.
So tell us more about the actual mentoring that you guys do.
The introduction to our program generally comes with a weekend. We invite the young men to come and spend a weekend with us, and we introduce the journey that we're offering to share with them. Andrew spoke a couple of minutes ago about the idea that young men are on what I call the hero's journey. It's this transition from boyhood to manhood. The hero's journey is played out in the vast majority of the movies and stories about, it's always about the young knight that separates from his home or the comfort zone and goes on the adventure. Well, we try to introduce and celebrate that adventure that every boy goes on in order to find himself. And often in the stories, that means marrying the princess. That's the reward. That's the welcome
right.
home. That's the return, you know. And marrying the princess is symbolic for finding themselves and recognizing who they are. And so we start with the weekend, and then invite the young men to spend 3 or 4 hours with us every other Sunday afternoon. In the case of Santa Fe, Sunday afternoon turned out to be the most amenable time for the most people. And it's an ongoing checking in and opportunity to deepen the relationships, to give the young men opportunities to talk about what's going on with them in their lives, and primarily for the mentors to create this environment where maybe we can be supportive. Our job is to support, admire, mentor these young men. Not punish, not lecture, not, you know, we have a little different relationship than some of the other figures in their lives and create this space where they're allowed to experiment and expand a little more into who they are and question what's going on in the world.
So, yeah, as a follow-up to the Rites of Passage weekend, there's always a danger in offering a powerful experience like that if it's not supported afterwards, that they can go back to where they were before, if you like. So these twice-monthly meetings are there to support them and to deepen the relationships between the mentors and these boys, to develop the relationship of trust. So they actually have other men in their lives where they may lack men as role models outside the family who they can trust and talk to about some of the challenges of being teenage boys, which can include some of the things we've touched on already, but it clearly can be gangs, and it can be substances and relationships with sexual relationships. They can develop those relationships in a way that they know they can talk about these things in a group setting, and it will be held confidential, and they'll be treated with respect in that setting.
Do you find that a lot of the boys who come to you are people who don't have father figures or strong males in their life?
Yes, we do. We, our our idea of our program is that this would be beneficial and helpful environment for any young man. And in fact, often single parent homes and boys who are starting to have conflict in the schools, getting difficulties with the authorities at school and things like that, are more look to us more quickly. So we do not want or think that our program should be identified as boys at risk. All boys are at risk in the sense that the teenage travels, Andrew spoke to that a little bit, the adventure of being a teenager, that hero's journey. Young men seek risk and challenge, and they will go to the edge, whether it's with some of the things Andrew mentioned or driving fast cars.
Right.
Staying out late at night and hanging out in the mall when they might find conflict with other individuals. They'll seek dangerous places, so they go to the edge of themselves.
So what kind of edge do you provide in your activities? Like physical stuff?
Physical challenges are part of it, but not the basic function. The edges that we provide have more to do with these young men bumping into places where they're uncomfortable sharing, where they're uncomfortable exploring their issues of trust, of their ability to tell the truth out loud to people they don't know very well.
But that sounds like sitting, if I may say so, sitting around the campfire or something, whereas, I thought you were going to be, out doing bows and arrows or, ropes courses or something like that. I mean, how do you help them get their energy out?
There are a lot of sort of outbound opportunities for boys, for young people, to specifically do those sort of activities. And I think we do as much of that as we can. I say, actually, hiking this weekend, we do some backpacking, we do other outdoor activities. Some of the challenges are that we have to be so safe in this day and age. I love the idea that if we were really going to the edge, unfortunately, I don't think our society supports us taking teenagers who are not adults and therefore not able to take responsibility for themselves. We have that responsibility. Society doesn't support us actually taking them to a place where there is a serious risk of something happening.
Right.
So we do have to play safer than perhaps we would like to do.
Now, the work that you're doing is based to some extent on the work of Robert Bly and some of the people who really in the 80s initiated this kind of, what would you call it, men's movement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of the more recent foundation of the ideas that we're involved with are Joseph Campbell, Carl Jung, with his idea of archetypes and consciousness that we share. In other words, the idea of community, culture, being broader and something that we are as a human beings, that we all belong to a certain group and share something because of that. And then Joseph Campbell, Robert Bly, Michael Mead, and a man named Maladoma Somme, who was part of the last initiation of his tribe in Africa. And that part of his...
The last?
The last. That was the last initiation of his tribe.
Why did they stop?
Modern world entered,
oh,
and the young men were leaving the village. Historically, we lived in smaller communities. We lived in tribes and villages, and everybody had a job, had a purpose, had a training into their contribution to the community in the village. And the initiation experience was part of that, preparing young people to step into their roles as adults. In the modern world, we don't have that. We're scattered. Families are spread out. People have moved around. Technology, automobiles, all of the things that have sped up the world and spread out our consciousness around that. We no longer have these smaller units. And so one of the ideas of Boys to Men is to attempt to reintroduce that into our culture, this idea that we are a community. These young men have responsibilities, and they need guidance and support and information about how to be a responsible man. And so initiatory in that respect, trying to introduce this idea of the development into manhood and your purpose here on the planet. Why are you here?
Right.
How do we help you get to that place where you're authentic?
So how long have you been doing it? Have you seen these boys go from 13 and now they're 25 years old and they've kind of made it? Or are you still in an earlier stage of that?
The project in New Mexico has just been going for a couple of years. It started, the Boys to Men project started in California, I'm thinking, is it 10 to 15 years ago now? So certainly those men there running that project have seen exactly that. They've taken the boys as 12, 13-year-olds and seen them right through into adulthood.
And they've followed up with them and everything.
Oh, yes.
So it works.
It works. In some communities more, we haven't reached that stage yet. Some of the communities in Canada and in other states in the U.S. have certainly looked and produced the evidence around the impact of the program on boys, around attendance, around graduation specifically, because those are the most direct and immediate ones if you're looking for really meaningful, grounded criteria of success, if you like.
So when you have boys who come into this program and maybe they've got problems with authority, presumably they're going to kind of act those out on you guys.
That's a possibility, but, you know, in fact, my experience is that all boys are good boys, and they have challenges, they have difficulties, and we provide the opportunity for them to experiment with not being violent, not being adversarial, and it's a very unusual for us to experience that. Their goal is to provide a safe environment for them to explore who they are. That can include some anger, but it's not common, and
yeah.
It's very uncommon for us to actually have conflict with any of our young men.
And at least part of this comes because we create a very strong container. When the boys step into the weekend, which for most of them will be their first experience of the Boys to Men mentoring program, they will find themselves in an environment which there are more staff men, more adult men than there are boys, sometimes by a proportion
of... 2 to 1?
Yes, can be 2 to 1, plus the support we have of the boys who've already been through the program. So other teenage boys who are kind of very much with us as part of this container. And in there, and if a young man is needing to express himself, whatever that is, that can be very well held in that sort of container.
So we're just about out of time, but how do people find out more about this if they want to participate, or if they've got sons or cousins or friends who might be candidates for this?
Thank you for that opportunity, because one thing we want people to know is that there's a place for participation by everybody. Support from the women who think that this is important. Financial support is always appreciated. The website is boystomennewmexico.org, all spelled out.
Boystomennewmexico.org, and you can Google that too, and it'll come right up.
Yes, and as long as that's why I emphasize sometimes the word mentoring. As I spoke to you, the musical group Boys to Men gobbles up a lot of Google space.
Yeah, mentoring.
So when we say Boys to Men Mentoring or Boys to Men New Mexico, you'll find us.
Yeah.
And the website makes it available for you to all the contact information, places where you can indicate the interest that you have. People from schools, Andrew and I are available to talk to many people from public civic organization, schools, churches, all of that.
And by the way, there is actually a weekend event coming up.
Yes, our next Rites of Passage weekend, or what we call a Rites of Passage adventure for the teenage boys, starts a week today, Friday the 14th of October, and runs to the Sunday afternoon. So it's from Friday evening through till Sunday afternoon.
And the telephone number also for more information is 470-5960, 470-5960.
That's correct.
Andrew Tree and Neil Egan are with Boys to Men Mentoring of New Mexico. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Marcia.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.